Nice to see you here today. I guess we should start with an apology today. We had a malfunction with our coffee maker over in the kitchen this morning, and something got turned off or unplugged, and so they didn't have any hot water for quite a while. But I understand that that is fixed now. Okay. Matter of fact, I told somebody over there. They were saying, "Oh my goodness, those coffee makers—they're really expensive." And I said, "Listen. If that coffee maker's broken, they will replace that quicker than they would replace me, okay? Because coffee's pretty important, right? Right? So, amen. I hear you. So it's up and going over there now, and you can help yourself to some of that. Yeah, you know, today we're going to be talking about worry and anxiety. So there you go. There's something else to worry about. Okay, the coffee maker is broken. You know, I don't know how many of you would actually toe the line with this thought, but I think, and this is a personal opinion of mine, but I think everybody deals with worry or anxiety at some level. Some of us are just, or some of you maybe, I shouldn't maybe include myself in that, but some of us are better at it than others. But we, we all have this difficulty with making sure that we look at this the right way. For example, and all through your growing up years, when you were young, you worried about a bad grade, and then you worried about going to college and where you should go, and then you worried about getting a job, and then you worried about marrying somebody, and then you worried about whether or not you married the right person, and then you worry about having children, and then you worry about raising the kids, and then you worry about braces and things like that. My 9-year-old grandson gave us the play-by-play of his braces. He's going to be getting braces really soon, and it was like, wow, where did that come from? But then you worry about college and paying for college, and then it just goes on. There's always a new set of things, not only that we can worry about, but that we are anxious about. And God's Word has a lot to say about that very subject, and we've been looking at this for some times. But today we're going to finish up and talk about how can I calm my anxious mind. What can I do to make a difference with this in how I live and how I trust in God? So let's go back to this passage and let's add another verse to it. We've looked at this before in Philippians chapter 4 in verse number 6. He says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things, and the God of peace will be with you." Man, this is a verse of scripture that is so amazing, because it's kind of linear in the way that it's laid out from one step to the next. Don't be anxious. Don't worry about things. But in every situation, prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And then what's the outcome? And the peace of God transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And then finally, think on these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I think that this is a prayer that we all need to pray. Calm my anxious mind, oh God. Because listen, there is so many things connected here with our mind, and how we worry and how we're anxious, and and how we do that. Because look, we said over and over again that your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. Well, here, that's really great news if your strongest thoughts are in Him. Or if this verse is true for you. But if your thoughts are negative and they're moving into that kind of area, then you know your mind is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. So what's your strongest thoughts? Are they belief? Are they understanding? Are they trust? Or are they something else? Let me give you an example of this and kind of illustrate this with the absurdity. Okay, I saw a couple of friends here this morning. They had Penn State shirts on. You know, this is always kind of an anxious part of the year for a lot of people because college football's starting up, and we're all tied for first place. And there's some of us that have these wonderful thoughts about this great year, and then other of us are worried about where we're going to end up and how it's going to happen. You know, you guys all know it. I'm a University of Tennessee fan, and I actually have tickets to the first game, September the 2nd, and it's just in a couple of weeks. And Tennessee is playing the University of Virginia in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's one of those neutral site locations for the game. So what did I do? I called my father-in-law, who's a huge UVA fan. And I said, you know, Noel, would you like to go to the game? And he said, I'd love to. So I got us a ticket, and we're going to go down, and we're going to watch the game together. Now, here's the thing. When I looked at it, I looked at the spread, and it's like, no problem. You know, we shouldn't have a problem at all. But then it's like, dear Lord, please don't let Tennessee lose to Virginia because that'll be the longest ride home ever with my father-in-law. You know, you just get anxious. You get worried about what's going on. You know, yes, your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts, but what kind of thoughts do you have? Are you having good thoughts, positive thoughts, encouraging thoughts? Are you capturing your mind like we've said over the last few weeks? Are you thinking on these things? As Romans says, are you renewing your mind daily in Him? Are you making sure that what you allow in up here is good and positive and wonderful? Because let's just face it. A lot of times our minds can trick us. Because you know what? Almost every negative thing that we're anxious about never happens. But then we still worry about it. Somebody once said there's only two things to worry about, whether or not you're well or whether or not you're sick. And if you're well, you don't have anything to worry about. But if you're sick, you got two things to worry about. Will I get better or will I die? And if you get better, you don't have anything to worry about. But if you die, you have two things to worry about. Will I go to heaven or will I go to hell? And if you go to heaven, you don't have anything to worry about. But if you go to hell, well, you can pass your time by talking to all your friends you haven't seen in a while, right? No, just kidding. That was a terrible joke. I don't know where that came from. There wasn't really a punchline to that, but I added one. But it really is true, isn't it? I mean, we're faced with these choices. And so often the devil uses our mind to get us thinking about things in the wrong way. Now I want to show you something here because I think that this is absolutely beautiful when you come to this passage, because his response to worry and anxiousness is what? Prayer. His response is prayer. Should be our first thought and not our last hope. Our first thought rather than our last hope. I hope and pray that we understand that here today. When he says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, what? Pray. Pray. You know, too often, I think that we don't pray about everything. We just pray about things that we consider to be big things. You know, we don't pray every day about the job that we have. But if we're in a job interview for something different or better that we think, we pray. You know, we don't pray about the things that we think are normal. But yet here God says that we should pray about everything. So let's just bow our heads and let's pray for University of Tennessee right now. Bow your heads. Right? You know, and I can actually prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that God really doesn't care about your team or my team. He's got other things to worry about. But yet with us, he says, pray. When all you can do is pray. Prayer is powerful. Prayer is wonderful. It's not the last line of defense. It's the first line of offense for you to rally the strength and the forces of heaven to come against your enemies and the things that the devil would bring before you. I mean, think about it. Look at Hebrews. Hebrews says what? He says for us to go boldly before the throne of grace. Not with any fear, not with any trepidation, not with any anxious thoughts, but for us to just march right into the presence of God Himself and declare what we need in life. James says it differently. What does he say? He says that you don't have because you don't ask. Don't have because we don't ask. You see, prayer moves the heart of God. But prayer also does something else. And I want to spend just a moment on this morning because this was kind of a new idea to me. And I thought it was quite beautiful. I read two or three things by Dr. Caroline Leaf that we've mentioned before, and I'll show you a quote by her here in just a few minutes, and others that talked about the positive aspect that prayer has on your brain. that when you believe in God, and when you trust in God, and when you pray about things, that it changes your brain. Let me show you this quote here by Dr. Caroline Leaf, who's one of the most foreknown authorities on how the brain works, and she's a believer. And she said, it's been found that 12 minutes of daily focused prayer over an 8-week period can change the brain to such an extent that it can be measured on a brain scan. I'd never seen that before. That if you, I mean, they could go in, they could test all of us, and they could say, yep, that person's praying. Yep, that person's praying. Yep, that person's praying without ceasing. Yep, that person's doing this the way God says to do it here in this passage. And then just it would recognize those folks that are not just as easily. Folks, listen, negative thoughts are toxic. They hurt us. They hurt our mind. Prayer heals. Prayer transforms. Prayer renews our mind. Now, there might be some people that would say, yeah, you know what? But it doesn't do a lot of good. I read an article this past week that said if everybody would actually keep a prayer journal and actually document the things that they pray about and then pray about them and lift them up to the Lord and be constant and be repetitive and be faithful. And if you keep up with your prayers and what you're praying for, and then the result and the after effects of that prayer, this person said that we would see that God answers a lot of prayers. That a lot of prayers are answered. We just don't take notice of it. You see, the logical part of your brain chooses chooses the strongest thoughts that we have there. So if the strongest thoughts that we have are spiritual, they're of God, that prayer is the first thing that we do and not the last line of defense, then what happens is that our brain becomes rewired to understand and depend on those kinds of things. For example, Romans chapter 8, verse 5. Look at this passage. It's really good. It says, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about the things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. Now listen, folks, don't rush by that passage. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those that are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about the things that please the Spirit. But we have to take hold of that. And we have to take it captive and make it part of who we are. I heard a comedian, Brad Upton. You know Brad Upton? I love Brad Upton. He's one of the dry bar comics. But he said last night, he said he finally realized that he was old when he was in a restaurant one day and he saw these two beautiful young girls walk by. And all he did was just look at them and stare at their food. And what do you notice? Well, we notice what we pay attention to. We notice what we want to be a part of ourselves. He says, take every thought captive. In other words, we need to give those things to God, the things that we worry about. And you know what we'll find? We'll find that our worry, that our anxiety becomes less because we do this thing. See, it's possible, but it's a choice. You know, you think about the people that really respond to anxiety and worry with prayer. It's the people that's trained their mind and their heart to pray. It's the people that go to prayer as the first place of offense rather than the last resort. And when those people do that, it's amazing. It's amazing the difference that God can make in their life. But that can't happen until we lay down this worry, until we lay down this anxiety, and we choose something else. You know, if you think about that you want your heart to be peaceful, that you want your life to be joyful, that you want your mind to be settled, and you want your faith in God to be trusting, it's possible, but it's a choice. Don't look at people that have done this and think, wow, boy, they are so blessed that they're like that. They have chosen that life, and they have laid down the anxieties of this world and have trained their mind and their heart to trust in Him. I mean, think about it. If your life is moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts, let me ask you this. Do you like the direction of your thoughts? I mean, if your mind is moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts, do you like the direction that your thoughts are taking you? Because if you don't, then you can change it. See, here's the thing. That's the story of every conversion that's ever happened. That's the story of every conversion that's ever happened, is a person realizing that what they're chasing is not satisfying, is not life-giving, and they repent of their sins, and they say that I am going to pursue something else. It's the story of every conversion. You know, I had a get-together last week, a meeting with a fella that has, man, he has gone through a lot. addiction-wise and things like that. And it is amazing. It is amazing where he's at now. And I actually asked him, because I had this on my mind, I said, you know, how did you get to where you are now? How did the journey start? And he said it was actually when he got into the prison system. And he just decided that if things were going to be better, that he had to do things differently. So he started taking classes in there. He started getting, you know, this, that, and the other. He started helping in the religious services of the prison, and he finally got paroled, and then he, you know, he just went on. But it was all about the different choices that he had made that led to a better life. And here's the thing, folks. A life of anxiety and worry will lead to a life of anxiety and worry. It certainly will wreck your mental health. It might even wreck your body. There's a lot of research that says that. So we have to get a hold of this. But the way we do it isn't hoping that some cosmic event will happen, but that, you know what, I am going to do things the way God tells me that I should do them. That's why I said to you a couple weeks ago about write it, think it, confess it until you believe it. Stay faithful to these things. In other words, make Jesus the first thing in your life. Understand that you exist to bring Him glory and honor. Couple that with discipline. Understanding that Christ in me is stronger than any other desire of the flesh that is in me. Desire a closer relationship with Jesus every day because you need it. Your family needs it. Your kids, your wife, your husband. Everyone around you needs you to be that person. Understand that God has given you certain things, creativity, innovation, drive, focus, to bless others, and allow the Holy Spirit to dwell in you as you achieve that. And then declare it to be true for you from that day forward. And say, devil, you're not going to hold me hostage any longer with unhealthy thoughts. The weapons you fight with are not the weapons of this world. Therefore, I will use the Spirit of God to defeat you. Listen, folks, worry is not your master. Worry is not what we want to have in our lives. But here's the thing. You can't control what happens to you, but you can control how did we say it last week, how you frame it? Apostle Paul in prison. Praise God, I'm in prison, right? It's all how you frame it. Not interpreting God through our circumstances, but interpreting our circumstances through the goodness of God. And here's the thing about this passage that we've read today. The core of it all begins with prayer. Not with anxiousness, but prayer in everything. Prayer and petition. Presenting your request to God. And then what? And then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. Let God empower you to win this war in your mind and allow you to enjoy faith in God today. You know, I'm almost sure that the University of Tennessee will beat the University of Virginia August 2nd. September 2nd. If they don't, I'm not coming home. I'm pretty sure. Well, I'm real sure. Matter of fact, if you take a poll, most of anybody that's looks at such things says that is true. But yet there's that little bit that I spend way too much time with that causes me to look at myself in a more negative way. You know, you flip that around spiritually. And you think about what God has given us, what God has promised us, that we are victorious already in Him, that we have a place secure in heaven with Him, that He will never leave us, that He will never forsake us, but that He will always be there with us. He will forgive us if we confess our sins. He will cause us to be victorious in spite of our circumstances. And if all that is true, and it is, why do we allow the devil to convince us to focus on those few questions that we can't answer or that we struggle with? It all happens because of prayer. What is prayer? Prayer is conversation with God. So let's stay in conversation with Him and allow Him to give us a good outlook on life as we live for Him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, God, You are so awesome. You're so wonderful. You give us so much in life. And Lord, what we see here is just is what You offer us. You offer us, Lord, a different way to look at life, not to be anxious, not to be worrisome, but that, Lord, to pray and to pray to You each and every day, and to know, Lord, that You give us all that we need, Father, to face life with faith and assurance in You. But yet, God, I know that I'm speaking today with some people who struggle. We worry about so much. So much of what we worry about never transpires. But Lord, your teaching here today is to instead worry, we should pray. It's a powerful thing, Lord. May it be the first thing that we do rather than the last resort that we reach out. And Father, I just pray Your blessing on all these that are here today, and help us to be an example of a positive mindset, Lord, of a transformed mind. Help us to be an example, Lord, of what a dedicated believer looks like in our families, Lord, and to our children, to our grandchildren, to our neighbors and friends and our coworkers. Lord, as we experience the worries that other people have in life, Lord, may we show them and tell them the answers that we found in our faith in You. And Lord, I pray that You give all of us the ability this morning to lay these worries down and to declare, Lord, to You that we will never pick them up again. That we give them to You, Lord, and we trust You with them. And we ask, Lord, for a renewed mind, for a renewed heart, for a different way to look at life. And I just pray, Lord, that Your Spirit would give it to us in abundance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together, please, and let's sing this great song together as we make our commitments to Him.